My name is Josh. I'm an alcoholic. One, thank you for the share tonight, both of you guys. It was great. My sobriety date is June 1st, 2010. I really think I took my last drink somewhere around Memorial Day, but that was the day that I had went to the Wilson House in Lakeland, which is an inpatient rehab. I had tried Alcoholics Anonymous, did 90 and 90. I was around AA, you know, the 1-2-3 quit, if you really even did 1-2-3, I don't know. I really definitely wasn't willing to do the work on the fourth step at that time, and I had this job, and that was kind of the thing that defined me. Well, I'm really not that bad because I'm still going to work and things are okay. And, you know, finally, after this 1-2-3 quit deal, and I was sitting in an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, 90-something days sober, and I was more miserable than I'd ever been in my entire life drinking. You know, sober, well, dry. And I just couldn't imagine a path forward. And I made a decision in that meeting that I was going to go drink again, and it was the first time I'd felt calm since I came back into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, or had come in. And, you know, within 30 days, I had tore my entire life back apart. The job, the car, you know, my phone was like a day or two away from getting shut off. My tag was expired. My landlord, I had to call my aunt twice and have her pay my electric bill. My landlord was knocking at the door. I was ducking him. He kept turning my water off at the street to try to get me out of the damn house. Like, you know, my dad had to buy me a ham butt and a bag of rice so that I could have something to eat. Like, doing great, you know. And I picked up the phone and called my dad and begged him to call the Wilson House for me. And he told me no, and he hung up. And I don't know what would have happened if he had actually called for me, but I did it for myself, you know. And when I got to the house, it's a, you know, a one-year commitment, and then they have a halfway house program afterwards. And that's where I met Philip, who I asked to come share for me tonight. Phil and I, you know, got sober together, and there was things that I couldn't tell anyone in the world that I was thinking or feeling or doing, and I was able to share it with him, and it gave me the courage to actually go share it with the group and share it with my sponsor. And, you know, as time progressed, I knew that I could trust this guy with everything, right? And I learned that I could trust my group equally with everything that I, you know, came across my plate. You know, so when Art Hill died, my sponsor, I asked Phil to sponsor me, and I couldn't think of a better guy. Like, you know, he was there with me through thick and thin, knew everything that I'd ever been through in my life, and understand the struggles because we grew up in it together, you know. And now, you know, I hated him when I first met him. I was jealous. I didn't hate him. I was really jealous. You know, Art let him get away with everything at the house, and it wasn't fucking fair, you know. Like, I got to do the right thing, and you yell at me, and you let this guy do everything wrong, and you're like, good job, Phil, just stay one more time, one more day, you know. But he knew something that I didn't know. Phil needed what Phil needed, and I needed what I needed, you know, and he needed to stay one more day. And thank God for him, and thank God for Art just knowing what everyone needed, you know, because everyone comes in and we've got our own problems, and he treated everybody a little bit differently, but it was always fair and it was the right thing. So, you know, I'll just shut up. I'll let Phil talk. Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Philip. I'm an alcoholic slash everything, okay? My sobriety date is 1-1-2010. I came in a few months before Josh, okay? And I don't know where I would be today if it had not been for the Wilson House, okay? My hat's off to everybody who could go to AA meetings and follow protocol. I'm one of them people that could not do that. I had to be locked up, okay? You had to lock me up and almost throw the key away for me to even start to listen. But what happened was back in 2009, it was a year where I lost my mom, and my mom and my dad were my backbone. They carried me, like, basically. I always had my mom and dad. They did everything for me, you know. And so in April March of 2009, I lost my mother. A week prior to that, I was in 2 shootouts in 3 days over some crazy drug deal. But that's what my life had gotten to. And I really didn't know what to do. I really didn't know where to go. I really didn't know who to turn to. There was really nobody that I could actually talk to because I was in a state of depression because, I was a winner, but I had turned into a loser, you know. And I was a superstar football player. You know, I was a point man in the Marine Corps. You know, I always was first. And Josh shared a little bit of it, and I always manipulated my way through everything, you know. But I couldn't manipulate this disease. You know, the disease had me down, and I was almost down for the count. So after being in 2 shootouts in 3 days, I decided I'd leave town. So I go to another town here in Florida, not far north of Lakeland, Florida, and I go up there and I started repeating the same thing all over again. So I had to leave that town, you know, and like in a hurry, okay? And all these things happen, that, you know, there got to be a God, you know, because there's 2 things I wanted to be in life, and one was a football star, which I accomplished, and the other one was a preacher. You know, because in my neighborhood when I was coming up, you know, I'm 66 years old. So when I came up, the big mans in town when I was coming up was football players and preachers. You know, the preachers had the fancy cars and the pretty wives, and everything was perfect. You know, and the football players, you know, had all the girls and the fast cars and this, that. So, you know, either you be a preacher or a football player. So anyway, it got to a point where I was neither one, okay? And I was actually depressed, but I didn't know what depression was, you know? And I didn't know depressions turned into hurricanes. So anyway, here I was, you know, my life was like a one big mess. So I came back to Lakeland the end of December of 2000, 2 weeks before a week before Christmas, I came back to came to Lakeland, Florida. Anyway, I got to Lakeland and started repeating the same thing over again, okay, and hanging out with the same kind of people and doing the same kind of things, and either, you know, I was going to end up in jail again or I was going to be dead, you know, and since I was Superman, you know, I couldn't die. So anyway, so the worst would happen to me that I would live through this. So anyway, unfortunately, something happened for me to have some money, you know, and I spent a little bit of time with my daughter and my son, you know, with my kids. I have 3 kids, and one of them deceased, and all. So anyway, I had a little chance to spend. But January 1st, I was back in December the 31st. I was back in Lakeland, and I stayed at the hospital. Stayed at Lakeland Regional Hospital overnight, you know. With some guy I had met, and he knew how to stay at the hospital for free. So I go to the hospital, and we stay at the hospital. We eat, you know, and you know, get a pillow, a blanket, and all this stuff. He knew how to do these things, but I didn't. Anyway, I hung with this guy. So the next day, he was on the phone, and he was talking to somebody. And I say, "Who you talking to?" He say, "I'm talking to the Wilson House." I say, "The Wilson House? What is the Wilson House?" He said, "The Wilson House is a drug and alcohol rehab center." And I say, "Let me talk to them." So I get the phone and I start talking to the guy, and they normally ask you a battery of questions like, have you ever been to jail? Have you ever been in prison? Are you violent? And they normally ask you a battery of questions before they let you in. But so happened, Ron Swanson was on the other end of the line, and you know, I say, "Hey man," I said, "can I come to that place?" He said, "Where are you at?" I said, "I'm down here in front of Amscot," because you know, Amscot in Lakeland is a spot because people go in and get money, and some of them come out and they druggies and alkies, you know, and you can like, you know, you can get your groove on, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, you know, I'm standing there in front of Amscot, and you know, and so happened, you know, and I tell him, I'm down here in front of Amscot. He said, "Don't move, we're coming to get you." So I said, "Wow, man," because it was January the 1st, it was pretty cold that morning. Here I was with a t-shirt on, a pair of shorts, and a pair of flip-flops. If you're from Florida, you know what flip-flops is, you know, open things, right? So anyway, they come to get me. And they take me back to the swamp. The Wilson House is in the swamp. It's actually in Green Swamp, okay? In the middle of the swamp, okay? So they come and get me. They take me to the Wilson House. because of my past, you know, the Wilson House was like perfect for me. You know, it was way out in the boondocks. Nobody would come out there looking for you. Nobody would come out there messing with you. And my life was in a place where I was living in shame and disgrace. And, you know, I had lost everything I set out to accomplish, everything that my parents set out for me to be in life. I had failed at it. And so my mother was gone. My father was gone. And I had neglected everything about my life. I won a football scholarship, screwed that up, and got another shot, and screwed that up, screwed up an NFL shot, screwed that up, went to the Marine Corps, screwed that up, and worked for a Fortune 500 company, screwed that up, and now I'm actually hiding. I'm hiding, and the Wilson House, I say, was the perfect place. So, this guy there, Art Hill, he was the director of the place, and I had to do whatever I could do to make this guy like me. I could not get thrown out, you know. So anyway, and Josh just shared a little bit about me and Art's relationship, you know. You know, I promised Art that I'd do anything and everything that he tell me if he just don't throw me out. So anyway, I did whatever Art say do, but I didn't understand too that I was working the steps. You know, I'm an educated guy, and I didn't understand that I was actually working steps 1, 2, and 3 by doing everything that Art said do. So, and that went on for a few months, like 3 months, and then one day he came to me and said, "Hey, are we 10 minutes, okay?" And so he said, "Hey, anyway, are we gonna send you? We bought a halfway house, and we're gonna send you to the halfway house." I said, "Why are you sending me to the halfway house?" Because I didn't want to go back out in the city. I didn't want to go back in town. I was perfect at the Wilson House out in the swamp. Just let me lay here, you know. Screw them people. You know, I didn't want to be around nobody. I just wanted to like hide, okay? Wanted to hide. So anyway, they buy the house, and they say either you go to the house or you can't stay here. So I went to this halfway house, and the first night there I had a girlfriend. So anyway, so anyway that worked out pretty good, you know. So it came down to a choice, you know, are you going to have a life or you're not going to have a life? And, you know, I had made up my mind that I was not going to live the way that I was living. And here these people was giving me every opportunity once again to have a life. So, I didn't do everything that I supposed to have done, but I did enough not to go to jail, not to get thrown out. Okay, so anyway, I get over there and I stick with the program. It was an in-house program. The Wilson House is a long-term in-house program, and I stick with the program. I do practically everything they say do. I didn't do it the way they want me to, everything, but I did. I put forth an effort, you know. So anyway, I got involved with this program because the only thing left for me was to be a preacher. That was all left for me was to preach. So, and today I do preach, okay? And several churches want me to come preach, okay? So anyway, I have my full of that. My cup is running over today. I have a full life today. And I've been at the Wilson House. I never left the Wilson House. I've been there the entirety of my sobriety. I'm there almost every day, at least 5-6 days a week, even until the day, and it has become my life. And I love my life today because I've been helping people for the last 14 years, going on almost 15 years of my life, and I wouldn't trade my life for anything today. It consists of me helping people, and also people helping me. It's new people in my life all the time, and I just have never lived a better life. You know, I really love football. Football was my life, you know, because there was nothing like this. You know, there was nothing like what you people do on a daily basis. That's one alcoholic helping another one. And I'm so grateful today that God gave me another chance to go out and to reinvent myself, you know, to be the person that he called me to be, to do the things that he called me to do. So in this opportunity tonight to be with my friend Josh there, you know, he stood by me through everything that I ever went through since I've been in sobriety. We happened to come through the house during the same period of time, and his family is my family, and my family is his family. And if Josh can't be there, that means that I can no longer be there. You know, he is my friend, and you know, God gave him to me, and I treasure that. And I want to say thank you, Josh, and for being my friend and obeying God's voice and doing the things that he also tells you to do. So anyway, man, that's my story tonight. I love the steps and the tradition. The steps and tradition is what put some clarity in my life. It helped me to have something to look at other than thou shalt not, you know. And I read the Bible. I graduated from Rhema Bible College, you know, and all these things. And, you know, but I never could do one verse in the Bible. I could not do one single verse without screwing up or messing up. But when I came to this program, you know, I was able to, like, do these steps right here. I was already doing them, and I didn't even know I was doing them by simply following directions. Because over on page 58 on How It Works, it says, rarely have we seen a person fail who have thoroughly followed our path. And at the Wilson House, we changed that followed our path to following our directions. You know, if you did what Art Hill said, you will get sober. You know, so you know, he was a guy that God placed in our lives that changed our lives. You know, and he, you know, I was a mean guy. You know, I was a tough guy, but this guy was meaner than me, and I had to do what he said do. And I thank God for him. He passed away, 3 years ago? 3 years ago, he passed away, and he still speaks to me. He's our mentor. You know, he's our go-to guy even now. You know, so when I'm in a crisis now, I can hear Art talking to me. I can hear him talking to me, saying, "Hey, Philip, you know, you do what you're supposed to do. You do the next right thing." And he say, "What's the right thing? You do the next right thing." So today, you know, I'm able to do the next right thing, no matter what situation come up. I put my feelings behind me. I got you, man. I put my feelings behind me, and I go do the next right thing. And that's what we do today. We just do the next right thing. If somebody need help, you help them. If somebody asks you for something, you give it to them if you got it. And that's what I do today. So, one other thing Art told me, too, when I first got there, you know, I was sitting there, like, looking at this guy, like, he said, "Why are you looking at me like that?" He said, "You can take the mask off. You know, you can take the mask off." He said, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm Philip." He said, "It's okay to be Philip today. It's okay to be Philip." So, and with that being said, I'm out of here, okay? Peace, love.